Good day to you all and welcome to the show again. It's a beautiful Tuesday here in Dublin 4, which is the best of the Dublins, or so they tell us around here. It's Oliver Callan on shot at your service until 10 o'clock a.m. today. And the country is sweating like Shane McGowan at the dentist. And the end times heatwave hasn't even begun yet. How are we going to cope? How are we going to sleep? Are we going to run out of water or chalk ices first? Does a Cornetto count as one of your five a day? All your silly questions and important concerns are appreciated on the text today. As always, 51551. And the email is ryan@rte.ie. I'm on the Instagram at the Oliver Callan. Yes, so what is going and doing on the show today? Well, we'll be chatting to the celebrated Irish international show jumper, Keane O'Connor, ahead of the Dublin Horse Show that starts next week. And more importantly, he's competing with Team Ireland to qualify for the next Olympic Games, Paris 2024. And it will be his fourth Olympics. And his history in that field is quite extraordinary. So we'll have that as well. We'll be looking at an event that's happening in Galway to remember the very first female vet, which is equine related as well, in both Ireland and Britain, an Irish lady called Aileen Cust. And there's a commemoration, a celebration of her there in Mount Bellew in Galway. She was a native of Tip and ended up in Roscommon. So in a fascinating story, all to come this morning on the show. Well, what's happening around the place? What's happening? This is news just in from the place of WhatsApp, the bane and joy and usefulness and maligned thing of our lives. WhatsApp groups. Yes, we're in them. We don't want to be in them. Sometimes they're fun, sometimes they're not. Sometimes you go, can I quietly leave now? But you can't, because once you try to leave a group, it announces to the whole group that, you know, Oliver has left the group, and everyone's going, oh, he doesn't like us anymore, and so on. And you're judged and then you're sweating because you've left the group. You don't know what they're saying about you, but they all know that you're gone. Well, you will be enlightened and excited by the news, because WhatsApp is adding privacy features that let you quietly leave the group chats, hide your online status, block others from taking screenshots of photos meant to be viewed one at a time. That's three things. Let's start with the first of the privacy features. It's going to let you leave the group chat without alerting the entire group. So what happens? It will add the ability to leave groups silently. So only the administrator will get the alert. So it depends on how you're getting on, how gossipy the administrator is. But everyone else in the group chat will not know that you have left the building. This could be especially useful for larger chat groups, Facebook-owned company tells us. And they're also going to let you hide your active online status from specific people. When enabled, the app will not show those selected the exact moments you're available within the app. Okay, so that's a little online thing, and then it's typing, and then they're typing, and then they've stopped typing. Why have they stopped typing? Don't they like me anymore? Why aren't they commenting on those new shoes that I put up there and the breakfast that I posted? Why are they not doing it? I hate these people now. Oh, they've left the group. When is this all going to happen? Later in the month. This ability to leave groups silently and hide your online status will happen, and they're still testing the feature that's going to block screenshots of messages that are meant to be viewed one at a time. So we await the revolution on WhatsApp. It's amazing nothing else has kind of come up to compete with it, isn't it? There have been a few things like Signal, which I think political people around the world are using because it deletes and doesn't store stuff. Snapchat, owned by the same company, that's the company that rebranded as Facebook, is not bad. Meta, whatever they want. Snapchat has introduced Family Centre tool, which is going to boost child safety. Corkbio.ie tells us it's, what is it, a new in-app tool that will help parents to get more insights into how their teenagers are using Snapchat without compromising their children's privacy. How are they going to do this? Well, it's going to show parents their children's friend list and who in that list is communicating with their child, but it won't show the content of the conversation. So it's an opt-in tool. It's going to require the parent and child's Snapchat accounts to be friends in order to connect. Set up Family Center, from which the parents will be able to confidentially report any accounts connected with their child that they have concerns about. That's good. So any improvement in online safety is much welcome, although they're achingly slow to do it sometimes, aren't they? Yes, they are. What else is happening around the world of the news in terms of Ireland? The journal.ie tells us, and this is relief for anyone who's been going out in town, as they refer to Dublin city centre around these parts, more 24-hour Dublin buses are going to be rolled out in the autumn as the dark nights begin to emerge. So it's on the way. What's happening? 24-hour services along the routes servicing the Red Cow, City Centre, Spencer Dock areas, as well as the route from Liffey Valley Shopping Centre to Spencer Dock. So that's a huge thing. Transport Minister Eamon Ryan saying this is recognition that the demand for late night transport is increasing. And of course there are problems. You've heard people talk about the long walks they've had, looking for taxis, they're not feeling terribly safe and all of that. And Justice Minister Helen McEntee says it's part of our plan to overhaul the country's licensing laws, ensure measures that are safe for people to get to and from the cities after a law. When is that happening, the reform of nightlife? It's bringing forward a bill to the cabinet in the autumn which will allow nightclubs and pubs to open later. It takes a long time to get new laws, isn't it? I remember being here spring of last year and seeing that statement when they were talking about reforming the nightclubs and pubs that had been closed in the various lockdowns that we had. But apparently by the end of the year, it shall take place. It'll also be useful for Culture Night 2022, which is back. 1,000 reasons to party into the night, says the Irish Independent today. Free events taking place. Culture Night, of course, has been going for many, many years, except for when the thing happened. And it's going to be the latest ever. There's going to be events. So there's all the kind of cultural museums and theatres and stuff that open later than usual. And this year, they're going to go up to 2 a.m. Catherine Martin, Minister for Culture and the Arts, says she's pushing the boundaries by supporting and promoting the nighttime economy. It's all connected, you see. So lots of details there. Culturenight.ie for the deets, as the fella says. And Bram Stoker Festival is back in October as well. So as you head in towards those spooky nights, looking ahead to the autumn. But sure, we have to get the summer done, first of all. And in the month of August, it's basically going to be Michael Collins month very, very soon, because the 100th anniversary since the death, accidental murder, whatever you call it, that happened to Michael Collins, the big fella in West Cork. There's going to be the festival of all festivals happening down there by the end of August, 22nd of August, isn't it? Yes. No mention of poor Arthur Griffith, who died just the week before that. No concerns about him so much. It's the mystery, you see, and the intrigue and the autopsy report that disappeared and nobody ever saw or reported on. Anyway, what's happening down in Newcestown Festival in West Cork 2022? They're going to do, what are they doing? They're going to attempt a world record to have everyone named Michael Collins, or the most number of people named Michael Collins gathered in the one place. Isn't this the most Irish thing of all time? You have all these cultural events and people going, well, how did he die? Will we solve it? Affect that. We'll just get as many people called Michael Collins as we can into the town. What'll we do then? I don't know. We'll count them. And how will we make sure they're Michael Collins? I don't know. Look up the details. Facebook page, Newcestown Festival. It starts on August 14th. And alongside the dedicated world record attempt, if you're called Michael Collins, get down there. It'll host a family fun day, pitch and putt open competition and a 5K charity run for cancer. It's just wonderful and miscellaneous adventures in Newcestown, which is a very, very nicely named place as well. And I managed to pronounce it correctly and I didn't have to ask everybody upstairs how to do it. RT News has announced that Penny's is going to open a new store in Tallaght. Sorry, this story is from RT News. They're not speaking on behalf of Penny's. My client has nothing further to say on the matter. There's a new store opening in Tallaght. It is 43,500 square feet of retail space in the Square Shopping Centre. This is going to mark Penny's continued expansion. It's their 37th store in the country, the first in Dublin in 6 years, following its opening in Liffey Valley. And there's a gigantic thing, warehouse opening in Newbridge as well. So there you go. That is good news. Well, it's good news for people who, you know, look at it as one of the helpful stores, shops in the cost of living crisis. And for other people that are going fast fashion now, fast fashion, I'm judging you with my eyes. And I'm definitely not just after coming from buying 25 string tops. And so that's going to open. When is it opening here? Thursday, the September 15th. I can already smell the fumes from the Marvel branded pyjamas and the fabrics when you go in to buy the, a bootload of leggings and Harry Potter face cloths. So good news, bad news. You can decide yourself. 51551, that's our text number. Rita Ora has got married. Do you remember, was it last week I was talking about the trend towards secret weddings? It might have been on Monday, I can't remember. Wait, it's only Tuesday. Anyway, I mentioned it. There's a trend towards secret weddings because of Jennifer, well, she's Jennifer Affleck now, isn't she? Because she went off and got the secret wedding, and then Graham Norton did the quiet secret wedding. They're calling it secret, but it's just a private, it's a private thing. Well, Rita Ora is married, apparently, and she has changed her name because she has tied the knot with the Marvel director, as it turns out, and a devoted, an amazing New Zealand filmmaker, you know, Jojo Rabbit, Thor, all those greats. I haven't said his name, Taika Waititi. And this is, so Rita has changed her name now to Rita Waititi Ora. Rita Waititi Ora. Oh, it's kind of, it kind of rolls off the tongue eventually. Rita Waititi Ora. Well, it doesn't roll off my tongue, let's face it. They got engaged 2 months ago and went public, and now they're married, basically. There you go. Well done to them. And it will last forever. It will. Don't be sniggering down the back. Celebrity marriages always last. Damn you. Comedy, in the comedy world, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is a huge thing that's happening, and you always get these strange kind of quirky stories. It's called a Fringe Festival, but it's like a huge festival that happens much of August in the city of Edinburgh, where all comedians worth their salt go to do a show. I've never done a show up there. That means I'm not worth my salt, so they should stop paying me in salt. Well, empty seats are the nightmare for all of us. You know, I've been there, you have Leaving Cert. Dreams. I have dreams where I'm in my pajamas in an empty theatre and I can't remember anything, and then I even try to read, but you can't read anything in your dreams because it's using the wrong side of your brain. Well, this fella called Robin Granger, he sold one ticket for his show at Edinburgh's Fringe. One ticket. And he went ahead. He went in, and there was the ticket holder did show up, and the one-on-one performance went on, and the person sat there. And then as that show went on, there's a show directly after him, and a critic came in early to watch this show that wasn't the Robin Granger show, and said, "This is very good. And there's also one person here." So this critic went and told the BBC, and then before you know it, Robin Granger is on the BBC discussing the fact that, yeah, there was one person and they really liked it. And he says his lone audience member, a Mr. Cass, said, "I saw him on Friday night, the only person in the audience. He made me laugh so hard, I loved it." And they hugged each other after the show. And as a result of this story, it ends up, of course, on social media. The interest got stirred up about Robin Granger, and the follow-up show nearly sold out. So it's he's now, as he says, he's now at the Robin Granger Appreciation Society, is up and running. And off he goes. I just love that kind of quirky thing. It's worth pointing out, by the way, that the comedians who put on shows in Edinburgh, they tend to have to kind of pay and rent the theatres themselves and do all the marketing themselves, often literally just walking up and down the street trying to sell tickets before they do the show. It's like a kind of a free market, open-air market of comedy world, and it does work, and many of the greats have emerged as a result from there. Airport chaos continues in places like Ireland and Britain and random spots on the continent, but not everywhere, but also in Australia. And Australian airline Qantas has come up with the latest solution, which is to get their senior executives, the besuited, you know, six-figure sum people, to get out and get their hands dirty as baggage handlers for the next 3 months, because they have an acute labour shortage with the thing and with the layoffs and the not recruiting people and so on. The firm's head of operations looking for 100 volunteers, including loading and unloading the bags, driving vehicles to move the luggage around airports. This is kind of, it's got a honk of a Ricky Gervais sitcom, doesn't it, where they're all going around literally doing the baggage handling themselves. And Colin Hughes, the chief marketing officer of Qantas, sounds Irish, doesn't he? Said this is something we just have to do. No exceptions will be made. You can opt into this role on top of your full-time position. And the managers, executives, everybody's been asked to work on the baggage handling roles 3 to 5 days a week, shifts of 4 to 6 hours a day. And you'll be handling stuff up to 32 kilograms because it's long haul, of course, Qantas. Qantas actually is run by a lad from Tala. Second Tala story of the day, Alan Joyce. Amazing story. He left Ireland, went to work in Qantas and worked his way up to be the chief executive officer. It's a huge story in aviation circles. Now, the story around the place today really is Olivia Newton-John, whose death has given us chills and they are multiplying. She is the one that we want, the one that we love, it says in the Irish Daily Mail. And the sound to Childhoods way back when the movie came out. Childhoods, even the 20th anniversary, was a huge blockbuster hit in the year that Titanic came out. There are fascinating obituaries on her. It's not just Greece's, her life. She was, there was a couple of marriages along the way that were annulled. There was an 11-year relationship with a cameraman. He disappeared during a fishing trip off the Californian coast. There were rumours of foul play, suggestions he'd staged his own disappearance. It was unsolved. And she once represented Britain in Eurovision 1974, the year that ABBA won Eurovision that time. And her family background as well, where basically, when she was born in Cambridge in 1948, that was her upbringing there. And her grandfather was a fascinating, he was a Nobel Prize winning atomic physicist. Max Born left Germany for Britain with his family to escape just before the Second World War broke out, to escape the horrors of Nazism. And then her Welsh father, that was the Newton John in the whole generation, the whole dynasty, was an MI5 officer who worked on the Enigma project at Bletchley Park. And was involved with, you know, getting Rudolf Hess into custody after Hitler's deputy flew to Scotland on a bizarre peace mission in 1941. Incredible stories around her. And she had a very complex love life, it seems. And one of her albums was produced by Elton John. Fascinating story. And her death has moved people, hasn't it, in a way that's kind of happened in the middle of the silly season. And people are remembering Greece and her lovely turn as Sandy. So we'll start this morning, 51551, with a bit of Olivia Newton-John. May she rest in peace. That's in your head for the day now. Olivia Newton-John, that was 1981 Physical there. And 51551 is the text. Oliver, Olivia Newton-John as Sandy in Greece. She was captivating. This role catapulted her into a cinema legend. Very few will have been unfamiliar with her in the late 70s. And although 29 when portraying a college student, she pulls it off magically, says this texter, who is fondly diving into this lovely nostalgia, which has proven to be very good for you, isn't it? There's a tweet from Frank to us. Olivia Newton-John pulled pints in Kildare on a visit to Ireland in 2019, only 3 years ago. Now everyone wants to know which pub. Well, because it's a tweet, Frank, we were able to check it out. And in fact, Olivia Newton-John herself was tweeting about it, and she said she was in Mick Murphy's pub in Ballymore Eustace in Kildare, which is often confused. I always consider it Wicklow, but it's very, very much Kildare. So there she goes. It's fond memories for people. There's another text here. She'll be forever remembered. She was apparently as delightful in real life as in a role of Sandy. I'll remember her debut in 1969 as a guest on Cliff Richard's show in the UK. The rest, as I say, is history, says John. Yes, and there was also a stint where she was a huge country music star, even beating Dolly Parton to a major award at one stage. 51551, that is our text number. We're going to talk to Keane O'Connor after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
And 51551, that's the text. As a feature writer for the RTE Guide, Oliver, I had the privilege of meeting Olivia Newton-John in Brighton at the 1974 Eurovision Song Contest. She was a charming person to meet and very beautiful, says Ulton Macken in Uachtarard. Tastefully done there. We jump back to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's great, not just a comedy festival, lots and lots of theatre, including Irish shows as well. I go every year, there's something for everyone. P.S. I do love the comedy, but primarily it's theatre for me in Edinburgh, says Laura Dowdle in Clontarf. Yes, it's rare that comedy and theatre sit side by side like that, since comedy is often derided as a low art, says I. But some of us are in the gutter, many of us looking at the stars, to misquote Oscar Wilde. Good morning, Oliver. Regarding no one showing up for a show, many years ago, my husband and I attended an open-air concert with a well-known band performing. There was only us and two other people there. They said good afternoon to all four of ye and performed regardless. Anyway, fair play to them. But what was the band? We're all dying to know what the band was. You might let us know on the sly there. 51551 is the text. Ryan at RTE. And in relation to that alien cuss story, hi Oliver, I'm listening to you talking with Elizabeth on Ireland's first female vet. How about this? My beautiful daughter is an equine vet, worked in Ireland and Australia, and then studies medicine and now psychiatry, and is a registrar on the psychiatry training scheme. We think this is the first female to be a medical doctor and also a vet. She also represented Ireland in equine sport of eventing. It's worth a mention since Kay Keenan is her name. Well, it's certainly well worth mentioning. Someone else says, good morning, great listening. Alien story would make a good movie. It would. And these are all these kind of missing stories that we've had over the years. And thankfully to that Memorial Society and local people in Athleague in Roscommon have unearthed and brought this story to our attention. So fair play to those. We'll take a little bit of a track, I think. George Michael. Well, I need someone to hold me, but wait for something more. Yes, I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith, faith, faith. I gotta have faith, faith, faith. Before I go, I have time just to call out one thing. The Bookshop of the Year on Post have announced the award is open for nominations. You can nominate your favourite store again through the online portal. It's only the second year they've done this because of COVID and everything. They decided to award book outlets and it was so successful they're going to do it again. So go to there's a section on the OnPost website, onpost.ie/bookshop of the year, and you can submit your nominations for the Gong through that section there. And the deadline for entries is the 2nd of September at 5 p.m. and you can also be entered into a draw to win a €100 book voucher. That's the On Post Book Awards. Are we coming towards that time of the year again? That's nearly up there with the back to school ads at this stage. Listen, that's all we have time for today. Thank you all very much for your participation. That's all the crack. Philip Outer Hayes is next. We are back tomorrow. Take care and wear sunscreen.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.